Hey Amud Aleph. We'll begin on that Hey Amud Aleph. The fourth line from the top. Hey Amud Aleph, fourth line from the top. We have some fundamental Gemaras coming up for a change. Both is basically one after the other. Let's see. Omar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Omar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. No pressure, just suggesting. Hey Amud Aleph, fourth line. Omar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Omar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. Le'oilom yargiz odom yetzer toiv al yetzer hara. A person should always excite the yetzer toiv against the yetzer hara. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, rigzu ve'al techetu tov. Excite yourself and don't sin. What does this mean? Chazal are giving us a directive here. It's really what it is. It's an eitzah in fighting the eitzah hara. If you want to have half a chance to fight the eitzah hara, you must always fight it. Meaning as follows. Person thinks, let's have a struggle in a certain area. Temptation. I'm tempted by XYZ. So, okay. When the struggle comes up, I'll try to overcome. Comes up, let's say, once a week. So, when it comes up, I'll try to overcome. You're not going to win that way. You have to be fighting the Yitzhar all the time. How do I fight the Yitzhar all the time if it's not relevant all the time? How do I fight the Yitzhar when the Yitzhar is not fighting me? So, the answer to that is, first of all, you have to realize that, the double answer here. First of all, you have to realize the Yitzhar is always fighting. You always have to be fighting the Yitzhara because he's always fighting you. If a person goes through 2 weeks without any spiritual struggles, he has to be concerned that he's in trouble. 2 weeks without spiritual struggles means that you are numb to the spiritual struggles going on. The Chavetz Chabad says, "Ato yoshen loy v'hu er lecha." You're asleep, but he's up all the time. The Yitzhara is always busy with you. And therefore, you always have to be figuring out, where is he trying to hit me now? So, always be finding the Yetzirah. How you do that, we'll get there momentarily. But besides that, even if I'm talking about a specific struggle. When I meet so-and-so, he gets on my nerves and I lose it. Now, I only meet him once a week. You have to be struggling against that provocation the whole week. How do you do that? So, first of all, again, it's the same idea that if you're going to just wait for the struggle to come up, you're not going to win. You have to exercise against the Yitzhara. It's just like in the army. In the army, they don't say, well, you know what to do when a fight comes up. In the army, they're busy training all the time, practicing again and again. So, one of the ways to go about this is, if you know that there's a particular sort of temptation you have, practice overcoming in your mind. Meaning, set a time, let's say once or twice a day, where I picture the scene. I sit down, I close my eyes, I picture the scene. I try to remember what it feels like to get all upset and how I plan on reacting. That's number one. That's one way of always finding the Yetzirah. That's a big Yetzirah that the Bali Musa gives. You have a specific area that you struggle with. Don't wait for it to come up. Take the initiative. Every day. Twice a day. Picture the test in your mind and overcome it. That way you're practicing all the time. You're practicing all the time. But besides that, like we said, it's also a much more general directive. The Yetzirah is always busy with you. And you have to figure out where, why. You have to be fighting him all the time. The real answer to this is Musar. A person has to be learning Musar all the time. There's no getting around that. Learning Musar every day. Mussar every day keeps you attuned. It keeps you attuned to the struggles. That way you always know that there's what to work on. When a person goes for a month figuring that, all right, this was a good month, the Yitzhahara was on vacation, he's in trouble. It's like Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, if there's an accident and there are two people lying on the floor, one is yelling and screaming, two people are hit by car, one is lying on the floor yelling and screaming, the other is lying still not saying a sound, not making a sound, who needs more urgent attention? The one who's not saying anything, the one who's still, needs the urgent attention. The one who's yelling and screaming, alright, you know he's in pain, but okay, the one who doesn't feel anything is in big trouble. That's how it is with Ruchnius also. You don't feel anything, you don't feel that you have any struggles, you feel that basically everything is under control. You need an emergency dosage of Musar. So that's the idea. You always have to be fighting the Yetzirah. And the most direct way of doing that is, for us, practically speaking, Musar every day. Okay. Now, I'll add another point. This might not be the central pshat here, but this is also a chashuv pshat. Always fight the Yetzirah. Always fight the Yetzirah means even when you're not going to win. Always fight. What does that mean? I'll give an example of what I mean. This is a very, very fundamental point. With the Yetzirah, success is measured with how good of a fight you put up. Sometimes you lose. But, for example, this is a very, very hush of a story. There was once a fellow, a chassid of Reb Shlenka Zviler. He was the Zviler Rebbe, died about, I think it was his yahrzeit recently, died about 50 years ago. One of his chassidim had a child who was going off the derech. And he was doing everything he could to try to keep him on. The kid was going off. He came to the Rebbe. The Rebbe told him, bring the kid to me. Told the kid, the Rebbe wants to see you. Okay, kid, shkoyach. What I need. See the Rebbe's wall. So, wasn't interested. The father came back to the Rebbe. He said, the kid won't go. The Rebbe said, tell him I want to speak to him for 45 seconds. 45 seconds. Okay, so 45 seconds I can handle. What miracle thing is the Rebbe going to tell him in 45 seconds? Nothing. What he told him was as follows, and this is a very, very hush of a message for all of us. The Rebbe told him, listen, you're headed for a path that we have to hope you'll come back. But you're going to be facing tests every day. I just want to tell you one thing. When you're facing a particular temptation, if you hold off, if you resist the temptation for an extra minute, you hold off, you fight back, and then you fall, you have no idea what that's worth in Shemayim. It's not just a question of all or nothing. If at the end of the day you did the Aver, you were struggling, you fell, you lost, forget about it. No. Every moment of being in the ring, every moment of struggle has immense value. Now this is not a chiddush of the Zviler Rebbe. I think that that's what the Gemara here means also, always fight the Yetzirah. But the truth is that if Chazal put this explicitly in other ways, the concept of a loisaseh, of an iser, really is, what are we being commanded when you're told not to do something? If Hashem didn't want something done, right, the whole purpose of a loisaseh, let's say you're told not to steal, and now you're in a position that your neighbor has something, $1 million, it's on the table, he's not there, and you're tempted. Right? If the real purpose was that Hashem didn't want you stealing, he would make sure that you couldn't see your neighbor's things. It's not that Hashem doesn't want the thing done. Hashem wants you to struggle against the urge to do it. That is the entire concept of a loisaseh. That's what Rav Hirsch says, that a loisaseh, actually, in the Torah, you never find the term iser. It's always mitzvahs, commands not to do. It's like everything is positive commands. There are commands to do something, and then there's a command not to do. He says, really, it's all positive commands. When you're told not to do something, it's actually a positive command. You're tempted, take up the struggle for Hashem. And therefore, Chazal say, if a person, an Avera comes your way, and you don't do it, That's called doing a mitzvah. So what happens if an avera comes your way, and you hold off, and then you finally fall? You have all that many successes too. At the end of the day, you fell. Fine. The averas will be weighed against the successes. But you have that many successes also. Very important to realize this. So that's la'olam. Always fight. The fight in itself is a success. Even if you end up falling, okay, there was a failure, but there were successes too. Okay. At the stipler also, the stipler wrote to a boy. There was a boy who was struggling with the Yetzer Hara to tempt teenage boys. And apparently he had more guts. Most boys, when they encounter this problem, they think they're the only one in the world to have been tempted with this problem. And they must be the worst Jew ever created, because they don't have the guts to discuss it with anybody. But this kid apparently had guts. He sent a letter to the stipler. Told him, I'm struggling with the test of teenage boys. And he wrote to the stipler that I fail, and I feel very badly about it, and I'm very down because the Sfarim are full of how terrible this Avera is, and there's Sfarim that say this and Sfarim that say that. The stipler wrote back to him, from what I understand, this is a struggle for you, which means that a few nights you overcome, and then one night you fail. He said, you saw what the Sfarim write about the failures, but you didn't see, the Sfarim don't articulate what the unbelievable reward is for each night that you do overcome. That's what's being said here. La'olam yargiz. Always fight the Yetzer Hara. Even if it's a lost battle, it's not a lost battle, because the fight itself brings you success. Okay. So that's number one. Always fight the Yetzer Hara. Now, im nitzchai, if you won, mutav, very good. The im lav, and if not, ya'asoik b'toira. The next etzah that Chazal give you is, learn Torah. That's an etzah against the Yetzer Hara. What's the etzah here? Here also, Chazal are helping you with the strategy here. This is actually just developing the idea of always fight the Yetzer Hara. I have to use strategy. A very, very good etzah, if you have a particular struggle, is to learn in depth that subject. When you learn in depth a particular subject, you really dedicate yourself to a particular limud, you become attached to it. I remember one time my father and I learned Masechta Sukkah before Sukkot. You approach Sukkot very differently. You're very excited about all the particulars of Arba Minim in the Sukkah. I remember I came over to my father's house on Erev Sukkot. We had been learning Sukkah right then. I came over to his house. He had moved the couch out into the Sukkah, from the living room out into the Sukkah. All excited. We had learned how Teshuva came to Duru. Shemamish, be like your home. So, if you have a particular struggle in a particular area, you take that subject, you learn it in depth. Learn the Gemara in as broad a way as you can. Go from there to the Halacha. You'll have a much... you'll feel a much stronger attachment to the Indian. That will help you succeed in your struggle. Okay. Now, Shenemar, as the pasuk continues, really Chazal is still working on this pasuk that we said the other day. Rigzu va'al techeto, imru bilvavchem, al mishkavchem v'doy musela. Excite yourself and don't sin. Say what's in your heart, bilvavchem, on your bed. And then be quiet. So the first step is excite yourself and don't sin. That's what we saw. Always excite yourself against the Yetzer Hara. Then that doesn't work. Try learning Torah. Shenemar imru bilvavchem, like it says. Say bilvavchem. Bilvavchem is referring to the pasuk of Alev Avecha. Torah should be Alev Avecha. Im nitzchai, if that helps, mutav, very good. Vim lav, but if that also doesn't help you, yikra kriyashma. Try another etzah. Say kriyashma. Now, again, this is not a magic charm. There aren't really magic charms when it comes to these things. When Chazal say kriyashma, it's the same as when they told us say ashrei. It means really internalize the lesson of kriyashma. So what they're saying here is, the lesson of Kriya Shema can often help you overcome the Yetzer Hara. What's the lesson of Kriya Shema? Well, first, let's see how Chazal derive it. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Al Mishkavchem. Continue with Al Mishkavchem, what you say when you lie down. That's Kriya Shema. What's the lesson of Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema holds a perspective on the Yetzer Hara that if you can really grasp it, it can really, really help in your fight against the Yetzer Hara. Kriya Shema says Hashem Echad. There is no force other than Hashem. Meaning, there really can be nothing working against Hashem. What about the Yetzer Hara? The answer is the Yetzer Hara is also just Hashem. Well, so to speak. The Yetzer Hara is actually in Hashem's higher. Meaning, higher. It's in Hashem's higher. Meaning, we view the Yetzer Hara as an impediment to our spiritual success. Actually, it's not that. It's a stepping stone. When you're tempted with something, it's not that up till now things were smooth and now something's in your way. Hashem is saying, look, here's an opportunity for you to grow even greater. I'm placing a temptation in your path because I want to rise you, I want to bring you to a higher level than you are now. If you view the Yetzer Hara that way, the Yetzer Hara is actually telling you, not saying like when a person is running an obstacle course, training for the Olympics, and the coach comes and puts down a big block right in the course. They say, 1 minute, I thought you were helping me. They say, of course I'm helping you. Point here is, let's develop your capabilities. Can you jump over this block? That's what the Yetzer Hara is saying. Want you to become even greater. Can you handle this too? When you think of the Yetzer Hara in that way, it's actually there for you to grow. That's the purpose of the temptation. It's not there to trip you up. It's not there to tempt you. It's there for you to grow. It's a different approach. There was once a person who was involved in Kirub, who had a lot of, he hooked a certain guy. He was doing very well. This fellow was on his way to becoming pro, but there was one thing in his way. He had a non-Jewish fiancée. He loved her very, very much. And he just, that was the one thing he just felt he couldn't let go of. And this rabbi tried everything, but he just wasn't able to get past that. So he took him to his Rebbe, Chassidish Rebbe. So this fellow told the Rebbe, presented him with the problem, becoming a Balchi, Imamish, I'm inspired, I'm ready to take everything on, but this I just can't. So the Rebbe told him, I'm jealous of you. Looked at him, jealous of me? They said, I was never given such an opportunity to prove my loyalty to Hashem. A test is not a test. A test is an opportunity. When you know Hashem Echad, you realize that even the temptation for bad is all Hashem coming at you from a different angle. So again, Hashem is coming and saying, here, can you do this also? So that's another thing to think. And you struggle against the Yetzer Hara. Now, Im Nitzchoi, if that helps, you win. Mutav, very good. Im Lav, but if that doesn't work, you have to take a little bit of a nastier approach. Yizkor lo yoim hamisa. Then, you have to think of the day of death. Shenema v'doimu sela. The pasuk concludes, and be quiet forever. When are you silenced forever? In the grave. So that's the next thing to think. It's always tempting you. Picture right now. Picture right now. The day that you're going to be lying still under the white sheet. I think we're all headed there. It's, at the end of the day, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away. Life moves very quickly. What's it all going to be worth then? What's the point? And what will I have wanted then? At that point, I would give anything to come back and be able to redo it. So why don't I think ahead now? After every person dies, the first thing that hits them is, if I could only be back there for another half a minute, So it's a good idea while you're still here to really try to picture that regret and then tell yourself, Hashem did grant me that another half a minute. another half a day, another half a year, another 10 years, another 100 years. So think of it that way. Chofetz Chaim used to do this every night. Every night the Chofetz Chaim used to go into his attic. People used to listen from outside. I guess he didn't know that. But he would describe himself in full detail. He would, every night, this was his nightly routine. He would describe himself getting sick, talking to himself. The people are going to come in, they're going to daven for you, but then you're going to get weaker and weaker until you go. Then he would describe the whole Bez Din Shalmala. Does he deserve another chance? Does he not deserve another chance? Does he deserve mercy? Does he not deserve mercy? And then he would always conclude it by saying, he did a lot of mitzvahs in his life, and now he has no more opportunity. We'll give him Rachmanis. But then all of a sudden he would say, but one minute, is he dead? Does he have no more opportunity? He's alive! He's alive? No Rachmanis if you're alive. That was how he would end it. Still alive, you can take advantage. But there's another point also in Yizkor Lo Yehi Mamisa. And this is toward the Yetzirah itself. This is what Maharsha says. Remember that at the end of the day, this temptation, the Yetzirah, while we're here, the Yetzirah seems like a good friend, offering you all kinds of great experiences. Very nice. But actually, the Yetzirah is an enemy. Where he's headed is, while he's busy tempting you, he's dangling the lolly in front of you, what he's picturing is the grave. He's busy working on your grave. You have to think of it that way. You have to realize that inside you is something you actually feel like it's you. It's really an enemy. Someone from the outside. There's a stranger inside you mixing in with all your feelings that you think is you. That's the way the Chofetz Chaim describes it. You actually think it's you. I want. It's not. It's a spy who managed to infiltrate to get into you and actually make you think you want. It's not really you. You have to be able to differentiate between who you are and who's just that foreign enemy that's inside you. Sorry? Yeah.
Why worry?
If you go down, you'll be with all your pals. Make light of the concept. Oh, that's quite so. That's actually, the Tzaddik makes that point. He says that the Gemara, when the Gemara mentions, think about the day of death, it doesn't put it at the beginning of the list. It's not the first thing on the list, it's at the end of the list. Why? He says because if a person is not spiritually minded, he can take the thought of the day of death, make a joke out of it, and he has no problem just continuing what he's doing even after making fun of it. You know, think of the day of death, make fun of it and just move on. If you've gained the sensitivities of trying to fight the Yetzirah, you learn Musa, and you've thought about Hashem Echad, and you've learned Torah, then thinking of the day of death will have the right effect on you. Okay. It's Rabbi Yitzchok of Radishiv one time was he was a chazan for the Yom Ha'Meroim. And before Kol Nidre, one time he was standing by the Yamud, wasn't starting. So he's like shifting and this and that, it wasn't starting. All of a sudden he took off the talus, he put it down on the Yamud, and he said, if you're such a great person and you're also an honor of you daven for the Yamud, and he walked away. Everybody looked, what's going on? So he said, I was about to start Kol Nidre, and then the HRS started talking to me in my head. He said, look how great you are in this big great shul. You're the one davening for the Amud. So I said to myself, it's Gaiva. It's Gaiva. How can you think that? So the Yetzirah said, See, not only are you the one davening for the Yomer, but you're also such an anav. So Levi Yitzchak said, I realize that that's not me, that's the Yitzchak Hara. Felt like it was, so I told the Yitzchak Hara, no, you're so great and you're also an anav, you davening. Okay. Now, Amar Rabbi Levi, so now we finished that lesson, that's a profound lesson. You should think about the Gemara's build up, the different points. Now an unrelated point, it's just because it's the same Amoraim talking. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chame, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lachish. My Dixi, what's meant by the pasuk that says, V'etznolecho esluchos le'evin, this is Hashem talking. I gave you the tablets of stone, the Torah, and the Torah, the mitzvah, and also the mitzvahs. This Torah and this mitzvahs. What's that? Two different things. Asher kosavti, that which I've written, that's a fourth thing. Lo'iroisa, I've given you to teach. A very wordy pasuk. I gave you the stone tablets, and the Torah, and the mitzvah that I wrote to teach. So these are actually five different things that Hashem is saying, I gave you at Sinai. Which five things? Luchos, Eila Seret HaDibros. When it says I gave you the stone tablets, that's referring obviously to the Seret HaDibros. Then, on top of that, Torah. I gave you the Torah. Zem Mikra. That's referring to Chumash Mikra. The Mitzvah. And I also gave you the Mitzvah. What's Mitzvah? Zum Mishnah. That's referring to Mishnah. How's that? Mishnah is the accompanying commentary of the Torah Shebichtav. You have the Torah Shebichtav, you can't really put the Torah Shebichtav into practice. It's not clear enough on its own. So you have the Mishnah, which actually presents the bottom line mitzvah. It brings the Torah down to you. Asher kosavti, I also gave you that which I've written. That's something else. What's that? Eilu Nevi'im Uksuvim. That's referring to Nach. Nevi'im Uksuvim. That was also given at Sinai. Le'ahoy Raisam, which I gave you to teach, Ze Gemara. That's referring to Gemara. Meaning, Torah is the Chumash as it's written. Mishnah is the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, the understanding of how to apply it l'maisa. Gemara is already the effort we put into making sense out of it. Melamed shekulam nitnu l'moshe mi-Sinai. This teaches that it was all given to us by Moshe at Sinai. Okay. Now we move on. Mishnah comes before Nevi'im Ksuvim because Mishnah is intertwined with Torah. Mishnah is the perush of Torah Shebichtav. Chumash with Torah Shebaalpeh comes together, intertwined. What's that? Not as fundamental. Torah is Torah, right? And the Mishnah, the Torah Shebaalpeh, is actually the practical application of the Torah itself. Nevi'im Ksuvim is nowhere near the actual Torah. Nevi'im Ksuvim is Nevi'im Ksuvim, but it's not the Taryag. It's not what we're here for in this world. You have to realize that Rav Hirsch writes, Torah Shebaalpeh is, it's not, Torah Shebaalpeh is the Torah. Torah Shebichtav on its own is basically nothing. A person knows only Torah Shebaalpeh, he doesn't know Torah Shebichtav, he can live as a Jew. A person knows Torah Shebichtav and knows Torah Shebaalpeh, he cannot live as a Jew. Said Torah Shebichtav really is just shorthand notes which were meant to accompany Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah was given over as Torah Shebaalpeh. That it's like when a person tries to approach Torah Shebichtav, you have the Chachamim who say, not Chachamim as in Chazal, Chachamim as in wise guys, who say, you know, we want to see, first approach it, just without the perspective of Chazal, just see what does the text itself say. It's like people go to a convention, a medical convention. We have doctors there, and there are long lectures going on for a week. And someone is sitting at the convention, and he's taking notes. He's taking shorthand notes, right? Afterwards, he comes home with a notebook. A notebook which is really shorthand notes. And he writes on the notebook the name of the convention. The name of the convention was Everything About Medicine. Okay? Now somebody comes from the outside, finds the notebook, Everything About Medicine. Opens up the notebook, starts reading. It's a bunch of very cryptic notes. It's very terse. It's not giving you the picture, but this guy read it. And it says Everything About Medicine on it. Now he knows. Now somebody else who is actually at the convention comes and says, no, 1 minute. That has to be elaborated upon. There's a lot more detail here. One minute. That's already added explanation. That's already elements of tradition. But no, the basic is what it says here. No, what it says here is nothing without the elaboration. That's Teres HaBiksav with Teres HaBalpeh. Teres HaBiksav is the shorthand notes which can work for the people who have Teres HaBalpeh. That's your relationship, and that's why that's actually being brought across here in the Gemara, where the Gemara puts Torah with Mishnah. Afterwards, you have Nach. It's not that the levels are Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and then Mishnah. Mishnah is hand in hand, mamish, part of the parcel of Torah. Okay. Now, Amar Rav Yitzchok, let's remember that we are on the subject of Kriya Shema. Why did Hashem not give the entire Torah written? A problem in our time is that's how it is to an extent today. After they reached the point where they allowed Torah Shabbat Ben to be written, we kind of do have that situation today, but it's not to our benefit, and I'll explain. I'm going to first of all reinforce your question. Rabbi Yaakov is asking, why did it have to be that way? Why couldn't we get Torah Shabbat Ksav spelled out all the way? We see that it's not only that Hashem didn't give it. Hashem gave an Isser, right? Originally there was an Isser to commit Teres HaBal Peh to writing. You weren't allowed to do that. It was really a fundamental part of Yiddishkeit is live tradition. Hashem wanted the Torah to be transmitted from generation to generation live. Davka. Because there are a lot of things that cannot be transmitted in writing. And when it's just given over in writing, a lot of times the effect is lost. The people who are at HaSinai, who actually went out of Mitzrayim, who actually got the Torah from Moshe, and really appreciated what Torah was, they had such a passion for it, and that passion was conveyed when they then went and conveyed it to the next generation. Torah comes along with a battery. There's life to it. We receive a live Torah. I said this often. People call Klal Yisrael the nation of the book. Right? Nation of the book might be a certain description. It's definitely not the definition of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the nation of live tradition. We are still... It's a live tradition that brings the Torah to us from Sinai. Live tradition. In fact, it may always bother me, it irks me, the expression the nation of the book, because the whole essence of who we are is Mesorah. That's part of, we're saying the Kuzari here, that's part of what we base our whole faith on. The live tradition. You think about it. The Seder. What is the Leila Seder? When you make a Leila Seder, I don't think that there's anybody who makes a Leila Seder today who just read it from a book. So when you think about it for a minute, every Baal Tshuva, who makes his own Leila Seder, it's after he's been at somebody else's Leila Seder. Leila Seder, you are connecting to a live tradition of Seders that started in Mitzrayim and continued until today. It always bothered me, why we call the nation of the book? Does it have a source? And then I heard, it was very gratifying for me to hear that I'm kind of on target. That somebody bought a sefer to Rabbi Baruch Ber Leibovich for a haskamah. Rav Baruch Bar said that there's something he's unhappy with in the Sefer. He refers to Klal Yisrael as the nation of the book. So he wasn't so happy about that. So the son-in-law of Reuven Grozovsky said, but the Kuzari, oh, we just talked about Kuzari. Kuzari calls Klal Yisrael the nation of the book. So Rav Baruch Bar on the spot, he said, look in the Kuzari. Remember, the Kuzari is a dialogue, right, between the non-Jewish king and the Jewish sage. He says it's the non-Jewish king who uses that expression, not the Jewish sage. From the outside, it looks like we're a nation of the book. And the book is a very, very important part of how we spend our day. But essentially, we're a nation of live tradition. But we lost that in a big way when we reached a point where we had to commit a lot of the Torah to writing. But we still have it today. There's no comparison between a person who learns his Yiddishkeit from Sfarim and a person who actually saw the real thing. The truth is, that's why I consider myself, what gives me the right to be standing here and talking to other people instead of, I think really the only right I feel that I have to the shtender, the podium, is I saw the real thing. That's really what I'm trying to convey in everything that I'm teaching. I saw the real thing. Close Shaykhus about Victor Miller, close Shaykhus with Michal Yehuda Lifkovich. When you see the real thing, it just inspires you in a way that you can learn, but you're not really connecting. You're seeing people who are of a completely different caliber. You see, it's not just what the mitzvah is, but you see with these people, how much weight is on every mitzvah. A sefer can't convey that. A sefer can tell you all the information, etc. But to actually see how to relate to it, there's no comparison between seeing that live. That's how Hashem wanted the Kabbalah to work. Hashem wanted all the mitzvahs to be conveyed that way. Today, our minds we can't contain it anymore in the way they did then. We have to have it committed to writing. We have to realize that we're missing out on a lot of the real experience of Yiddishkeit in the fact that we haven't written. In the fact that we're not getting it all. That we don't have a Rebbe coming and teaching us the details of Basa B'Cholav with such awe and trepidation that it fires our blood. That's why Torah was meant to be Torah Shebaal Peh. And whatever elements we do have in Torah Shebaal Peh today, we have to very much value. We have the opportunity to still receive certain elements of Torah from the live source. Okay. You have to beware, Abayis. If you ask a question, it might be setting me off. Okay. That's right. That's right. They left a lot of things vague because it had to be through a Rebbe. Okay. Now let's remember that all this was really a bit of a tangent. We were in the middle of the subject of Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema Lamita. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok. When a person says Kriya Shema in bed, it's like he's holding a double-edged sword. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Roimimois kel bigroinam, the greatness of Hashem is in their throats. Meaning, when they're saying Kriya Shema, v'cherev pipiyos biyadam. And they have a double-edged sword in their hand. When they're exalting Hashem with their mouths, they're holding a double-edged sword in their hand. And that, we're understanding, is referring specifically to Kriya Shema. Now, how do we get to that? You're right that it's talking about exalting Hashem. But who said it's Kriya Shema? My Mashma. Who said that that's Kriya Shema? Omar Mazutra. So either Mazutra, the Tamer Avashi, either Mazutra or Avashi said, Meireisha de'inyan. You see it from the beginning of that pasuk. Says, the Ksif says in the pasuk, Yalzu chasidim b'chavoy, the chasidim rejoice, the pious rejoice in their honor. Yeraninu al mishkevoysam. They are excitedly expressing Hashem's praise on their beds. Ah! What are they saying on their beds? So we see we're talking about what's said in bed, and then it continues and says, Ksiv basrei. Then, after it says that they're excitedly expressing themselves in bed, it says, Roimim oisel begroinam v'cherev pipiyosti yodom. When they're exalting Hashem in their throats, they have a double-edged sword in their hand. Okay, what is the idea of the double-edged sword? You start looking around in the Mefarshim, you start getting a feel that this is really Kabbalistic. So, I'll just say one thing again, we mentioned it the other day, that Kriya Shema very much has the property of protecting against and rectifying the Averis that people are prone to do in bed. So the Ben Ish Chai indicates that it means, double-edged sword means that it both protects you not to fall into the Avera, and it also has the property of rectifying previous failures. That's a double-edged sword. It has a school of protecting you against doing the Avera again, and it also has the property of rectifying it if you've done it in the past. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Maybe next round, when we get through all of Shas and come back to it again, we'll be able to give more insight. Okay. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Kolei Kiri Kriya Shema Mitasoi. When a person recites Kriya Shema in bed, Mazikin Bidelim Hemenu. The Mazikim, the evil forces, go away from him. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Obnei Reshef Yagbiu Uf. Those of Reshef are lifted away by Uf. Okay? That's a very clear translation. Classic art score, right? Uf lifts away those of Reshef. So now we're going to say what that means. Vein Uf Elotayra. Uf means Torah. We're starting to put together the puzzle. Shenema Hatoife Necho Boy Veinenu. If you just glance away from it, when it's describing Torah, it says if you just glance away from it, you already lose it. That's how it works with Torah. You want to hold on to Torah? Right? We just mentioned the other day that in Torah, 12 and 12 is not 24. 24 is a lot more than 12 plus 12. Learning continually without pause doesn't mean without going to sleep. It means that you're never seizing your continuity in Torah. It's worth a lot more. That's what the Pasuk says. If you just glance away from it, you can lose it. Someone once asked Rabbi Yoshi how he was Zoicha. Sorry. No. Someone asked Rabbi Yoshi what it means. How long it means if you glance away from it. Rabbi Yoshi said, well, glancing away means like this. He blinked his eye. The Talmidim said that that's what personified Rabbi Yoshi. Okay, whatever it is, so therefore Uf refers to Torah. So Uf gets rid of those of Resha. Now we know what that means. Torah gets rid of those of Resha. Vein Reshef en el Maziki. Now the last piece of the puzzle is Reshef means these evil forces, these destructive forces. Shenema. As it says in the puzzle, Mezei Ra'av, those bloated with hunger, Ulechume Reshef, those who are battled by Reshef, the Ketev Merir, and by Ketev Merir. This is the pasuk describing the curses, the Teichacha. So it's describing Rahman al-Itzlan, those who will be stricken by the curses will be bloated with hunger, and they will be battled against by Reshef and Ketev Merir. Ketev Merir, we know, is a shade. So Reshef, we're also understanding, is referring to a shade, destructive spiritual forces. So if so, now we have the meaning of the pasuk. Bnei Reshef Yagbiu Uf. The Reshef, the evil forces, are lifted away by Uf, by Torah. So therefore, yes, Kriya Shema makes the evil forces depart. Okay. Now, it's worth just prefacing that we're about to start the fundamental sugya of Yisurin. The big subject that unfortunately is relevant often. This Gemara Mamish goes through the subject of Yisurin breadth and width. So just let's get the perspective. Okay. Amar Abishimim Ben Lakish. Abishimim Ben Lakish said, Kol Ha'Oisik Batoira Yisurin B'Deilim Imen. The reason I gave that preface was because we want to be able to approach this as a sugya, not as a bunch of miscellaneous statements all kind of saying the same thing approximately. approach it as a sugya, let's note each separate point that's being brought out here. These are hilchis suffering. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kol ha'oseik b'Torah. If a person engages in Torah, yisurim b'deilim imen. Yisurim depart from him. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, ubnei reshef yagbiu uf. It's that same pasuk that we quoted before. Those of Reshef, before we translated Reshef as destructive spiritual forces. But now we're going to refer to it just as suffering in general. Suffering is lifted away by Uf. And as we said, Vein Uf ela Torah. Uf refers to Torah, as we just said. Shenema ha'toif enecha boi ve'inenu. As it says, if you glance away from it, it disappears. So, Uf gets rid of Reshef. Vein Reshef ela Yisurim. And Reshef refers to Yisurim, suffering. Shenema, as it says in the puzzle, Mezei Rav, those bloated by hunger, Uluchumei Reshef, and those battled against by Reshef, the Ketev Meriri, and by Ketev Meriri. So beforehand, Ketev Meriri, again we said is a kind of demon. But beforehand we translated those battled against by Reshef, we understood that as referring to destructive spiritual forces. Now we're translating it as suffering. People are being battled against, they're being beleaguered by all forms of suffering. So suffering is lifted away by Torah. Now, what does this mean? So let's just understand what this means. This doesn't necessarily mean that the person has a problem, he'll learn some Torah, the problem will go away. But there's a profound point being made here. Often, a person has a gzera of suffering. Learning Torah can take the place of suffering. You know, this is especially important when you realize there are many averas that you cannot get a full atonement for unless you go through Yisurim. Any avera that involves Karis or Misas Bezdin, Misa Bidei Shamayim, you can't get a full atonement even after you do Tshuva, after you go through Yom Kippur, until you go through some suffering. So what the Gemara is saying here is, Torah can take the place of that suffering. Torah can substitute the suffering. So that's something to keep in mind. We all want the kapara. We would rather not have the suffering. So you can be yoytze with Torah. It's also more than that. In general, we're being told that Torah can be in lieu of suffering for whatever it is, whatever reason it is. If a person has suffering decreed upon him, you can be yoytze by learning Torah. Now, what's that? Why? So we can either say that's how it is.
Supposed to be so pleasurable and enjoyable. Oh. Maybe it's hard work, but it's supposed to be so pleasurable.
Yeah. So we can either say, if I want to just answer it easily, we could just say, well, it's the merit of Torah. But the truth is that Reb Chaim Volozhiner says something that we might think sounds a little sacrilegious. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, and he was certainly a big fan of Torah learning. He says, Torah is sometimes suffering. Right? Sometimes you're really not in the mood. You sit down and you learn anyways. Hashem will count that as suffering. Or it can manifest in a lot of different ways. To review again. Something I know it already. Review it again. Yisurim. Yisurim. Person can take that form of Yisurim and use that as Yisurim. I'm dead tired now. I just want to plop into bed. Dafka now, I'm going to sit down and learn for 15 minutes. And it's really uncomfortable. Yisurim. The air conditioning is broken. I really can't learn now. Sit down and do it anyways. Yisurim. The Torah can chase it away. Oh, so you're saying that in if we're taking to the perspective of the Torah chasing away Mazikin, it wouldn't be understood the way I'm saying it. It would simply be that Torah chases away problems. Right? That's a valid understanding. This is an extra twist that Reb Chaim Volozhiner gives on this. Yes. There's no question that at the end of the day, with Torah, you are meant to reach a situation where you enjoy it. But there's also no question that all of us will say that sometimes it's not fun. Right? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, at those times when it's not fun, or in those circumstances that it's not fun, realize that you're being yoked to Yisurim. Now, yeah, sure, Rachel Dal Chenoyam. But at the end of the day, the way Torah works is that you have to push through the hard part in order to reach the sweetness. So realize that that hard part, it's not just stam hard. You can actually get all the benefits. Soon we're going to see that your suffering can actually be a very, very great schus. We'll see coming up in the next couple of days. You can actually get all that, all of the benefits of suffering, all the schusim of suffering, you can get through Torah learning. Now, just to add another point, and this is a fundamental point to keep in mind. If you begin your Torah learning, most people begin a career of Torah learning, well, we'll use the word, or we won't use the word, with suffering. Right? Hashem said, accept it against your will, when it's rough and it's not fun, but afterwards it becomes sweet. If you pushed yourself through the suffering stage, in order to reach the sweet stage, you continue to get schar afterwards, as though you're suffering for it the whole time. It's a very important point to keep in mind. Okay, so that's point number one on Yisurim. We've seen, if one in Hilchas Yisurim, is that Yisurim, Torah can actually be in lieu of suffering, all the different implications. Okay, we'll stop here.